Okay, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and we are continuing with this verse. I was telling Gary that Jack Eberly will not be able to make it to the conference. He ended up getting an infection in his arm. He's got a lot of pain in it, and the doctor suggested that he not try to make the trip. So I've got a substitute in Tony McCurry. He's agreed to try to prepare a lesson. And so we need to be praying for Tony. We need to be praying for Jack that this will all come together and that he'll be able to do a nice job. I have more confidence in him, I think, than he does. But I don't think it's going to be, every message he gives, it comes from his heart. And so I don't find any of us having any great difficulty with the things that he shares. So, that's all I wanted to say with that. On our verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, we are continuing with the word God. And I'm going to say a quick word of prayer. We want to thank the Lord for getting us on here tonight. It seemed like it was a lot of confusion. But it has to do with Pal Talk, I guess, and not anything on my computer since it's working now. So with that, we'll say a quick prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly God and Father, we do come in your presence one more time. We do thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to share your word. We'd ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide and direct in our the thoughts that we share, and may it truly be edifying to those who have tuned in. We ask all these things in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. So it is June the 3rd, 2014, and we are in 2 Timothy 2:15, and the word that we want to look at to start out with, I'm going to read the verse first, but it's the word God. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Obviously, we're not trying to be approved to any human beings. Our approval needs to come from the Lord. We can't even judge ourselves properly, so we have to leave all judgment up to the Lord. And so what I'm going to be doing is looking at a few verses that have this. The word is theos, and it's the supreme divinity. And the first verse we want to turn to is in Ephesians. If I didn't read that whole verse, the study that show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'd like to get to that word truth tonight, but I doubt if I will. That's going to be the theme of the conference. Maybe the next time I speak, I'll have a better understanding of that word, since that's going to be our theme at the conference. Turn to Ephesians. And we want to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And basically, I think the thought is, and I don't think this is much of a problem for us to think about God and think about Christ and think about him having rule over us. He is our head. And as a result of that, the relationship we have with him is very, very close. And we feel his presence, we feel his rule over us. Not that he's mean or unjust in any way. He's very loving and kind and gentle. And so with that, though, we'll start at verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And that's our first occurrence of it right there. And so we know that our hope and our calling and all that we do, as far as his will is concerned, he's for us, and he would like for us to succeed, and he would like for us to talk about and to edify the saints as we share. So he says it's by the will of God to the saints, and that's holy ones. As someone who's died and someone has made us a saint, we are all in saints if we are in Christ Jesus, and if he is a head, and he is head of the body. He says, which are at Ephesus. We know that was a circular letter and had a an application where it went to more than just one location. We know that there was an area that these messages, even though it's addressed to Ephesus, we know that others shared in it. He says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, same God he's referring to, and Father. And I always, instead of the word and, I like to put the word even. So it's blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And so it's in the heavenly places in Christ. So that is a good way for us to think about the Father, and think about the Son, and their and the position that they have in the heavens. Then let's go down to verse 17. Ephesians 1, verse 17. I guess just by reading these things and looking at the context in which they're set in, it gives us a position or a thought about where God is and how he is in a position to judge us and to do that correctly. And so, verse 17,
he says
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding of verse 18 being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that's in us and in his holy ones. Then let's go to chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. We want to go to starting in verse 10. And it says, for we are his workmanship. We're going to be looking at that fact that we are workers or laborers together with him. And we are, we want to realize and recognize that God considers us to be his workmanship. And so it's one of those positions that he has created for us. And so with this comes work and responsibilities. And also, if we do these, do the job, do the labor willingly and joyously, the Lord can reward us. So he says, created in Christ Jesus in two good works. So that's the very reason that he has called us and chosen us and put us in that, in his body, for the sole purpose of us being and doing good works, which God has before ordained. This happened before before we were even created. And so he picked us to do this this work. And he says that we have before been ordained that we should walk in them. When we look at the rest of 2 Timothy 2:15, there's a shame that comes if we don't. A shame, I think, that we feel, but I think it's also can bring sorrow to the Lord and can make him not depressed, but I think sorrowful or in a position where we're not doing what he wants us to do, so he's not happy about it. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. He says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, In other words, prior to us Gentiles being blessed, he was blessing Israel. And so we were never a part of that hope and calling. But he goes on to say, from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And I always like to think it's no hope of our own, because he hadn't given us one at that time. It was he was blessing Israel, and anyone who wanted to receive any blessings had to become a proselyte, become an Israelite. And he says, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and he has broken down that middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So that there was ordinance that was given, ordinances and rules and laws given to Israel, the nations. And that was by design. But we can see that as we get to our hope and consider what our hope is, there's going to be nothing to divide us, nothing to cause divisions. And so this is a good thing. Our hope and calling means that, you know, it's free to do that which is right. And without the laws and without all the restrictions that Israel had. So he says, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make him himself of twain one new man, and so making peace. So there should be peace in between the Jew and the Gentile, and not have any cause for division. And obviously now that Israel's been set aside, so there's no division right now, currently. He says, and that he might reconcile. To be reconciled means that he has removed all the things that would cause us difficulties or differences. He's put us in a position where we are, I think, can be saved. I think he's removed all the restrictions, and we can be on equal footing with the Jews. So he says, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so, you know, that all happened at the cross. It happened with his crucifixion, that this enmity was removed. He says, and he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Again, we can see how God has done all these things. And with that, he's put us in a position where we can be judged correctly. He says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. We have a equal footing, you might say, or equal chances to be loved by the Father, and without having any restrictions one to the other. It's a beautiful thing if you think about it, the peace and the joy that the Lord wants to give us, and by removing all the obstacles, by removing all the things that would have caused division. So he says, now therefore you're no more strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And he says, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. That's what he's doing with the members of his body. That's what he's doing with this whole hope and calling that we're involved with. He says, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God. God can not only dwell in us individually, but he can dwell in us as a unit. And it's his desire to do that. And so we believe that this will be accomplished. He will accomplish it. So says the habitation of God through the Spirit. The next place I want to go is in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and I want to read verses 2 and 3. It says, well, I need to read 1. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops. The bishops were overseers, and with the deacons, and we think of the deacons as doing more of the actual physical work. But he says, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and, or even, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I believe that's the attitude that we should have too when we think about the Lord. So that concludes what I didn't get done last time I taught, which was in April the 8th. And now we're going to be moving on to the next word in our verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. And the word is going to be a workman. And it's when I think about a workman, I think it's not a child. And I think we need to be mature. I think it's the Lord's desire to help us to grow. I know he did that with Paul. He called him and chose him, and then he gave him some time to in a desert place for him to learn and to meditate and to think and to change the way that he had been looking at things, and then begins to look at things in a new way. So I think we are to take his work for us very seriously. The type of work that he asks us to do, sometimes it is laborious, sometimes it can appear to be a little bit boring, but in the whole scheme of things, we need to realize that it needs to be done correctly, and it needs to be done in such a way that you wouldn't put a child in charge of it. You would put an adult in charge to make sure that it gets done correctly. So I've got a few words that I want to look up in a couple places that have to talk about workmen. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, we want to turn there. This thing gets into want us to be ashamed. And again, I think if we are qualified workers, then we are in a position where we could be judged. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, he states, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. And I think the idea about that enduring afflictions has to do with there's a suffering involved in the enduring, but to do it in such a way where we're not complaining and murmuring and doing it in such a way that others might think that we're not doing it willingly. You know, it's just to do it willingly. And then he goes on to say, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. I firmly believe that all of us have a ministry. I don't necessarily think we all do the exact same thing, but I think the ministry in and of itself is this doing the work of an evangelist can just be, you know, talking about and trying to win others to Christ, but I also think it can be language that we use to bring others into the ministry, to edify them, to build them up, to make them more mature so that they can be faithful servants. And I see that as a very good, you know, job that we can be involved with. So the next one I want to look at is in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says, well, I'll read one. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things unto you. To me, indeed, is not grievous. In other words, it's not difficult for him to do that. He knows the instructions he's giving him is actually going to be helping him. So he says, it's not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Or it's for your benefit. You know, it'll help you succeed. And then he says, beware of dogs. There always seems to be a negative to these things. Someone, maybe it's even someone in, you know, within our own families and that, but it's people who are trying to stop us from doing, what we're doing, trying to stop us from living a life that is approved of God. So he says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And he says, beware of the concision. To me, the concision is just someone who wants to cause divisions, wants to cause problems, wants to prevent us from doing, you know, what the Lord would have us to be doing. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in, he says, the Spirit. I think it's in Spirit. And rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. So our flesh, each and every one of us, our own flesh is sometimes our own worst enemy. And sometimes it defeats us, especially if we give it any kind of it's like feeding the flesh makes it stronger, makes the spirit weaker. So these things war against one another, and it's just a warning that he says not to feed the flesh, not to give it it's like an inch, it'll take a mile. So we just have to be careful there, you know, be aware that this is this enemy, I guess, is all around us, not only all around us, but even in ourselves sometimes. So it's something that we have to pray about and ask the Lord's help in and not be easily deceived. The next one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians verse 11. Chapter 11, and then verse 3. And I need to read, starting in verse 1, he says, would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, obviously this isn't our hope and calling here, but there's a feeling that Paul has for these individuals that I think is not just unique to Israel's hope and calling. But he says, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I just think how the enemy seems to me, that's the enemy without, seems to just delight in causing us to stumble and fall. And that what he said to Eve were just suggestions that caused her to doubt and caused her to fall, not only her, but she also told her husband Adam, and they both made the choice to take of the forbidden fruit, and they were deceived, and there's been all that curse has been passed on to all the generations since then. So it's amazing how small this started out to be, and how big a deal it was. But it's just simply a matter of not believing what God said, and using her own imagination and the words that the serpent used to cause her to stumble and to partake of that fruit. And so it does seem like sometimes that it's very subtle, that it's not an obvious thing to get us off the track. It seems like something we can't allow. But in the end, sometimes it's very costly. And so we need to be aware, I guess, aware of Satan's devices, in the sense that he can, cause us to stumble and fall and even feel ashamed. The next one is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 8. He says, 6. He says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever." So he says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under threescore." That was 60. And the logic behind that was, if she was under 60, she might want to get remarried. And so they didn't want to take someone in until they were well past that time when they might be interested in getting married again. So he says, 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. And so she had to have good qualities about her. And so the rule, this all happened too right after they had sold everything and had all things common. So there was just a period of time there when they had these rules that they were in effect. And I guess I feel like now we just need to consider these things as a good advice, not necessarily a rule, because we don't have the same economy where we're all given everything we have and trying to live like they did. So the thought there in verse the verse has to do with the labor, and that the labor is worthy of the reward. So this woman that they decide to bring in and provide for, they lay out the rules here, and they it's taught, Paul's teaching them, that because this woman did live a good godly life, that they that she should be rewarded accordingly. The next the word I want to by the way, this word we're looking at now is 2041. And it has to do with work. And it's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. We always say that Colossians was written to go along with Ephesians. I think the letters ended up helping one another. So it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. But this book is about beware. And so what it kind of makes me think about is that we have people that sometimes we rely on, and sometimes they deceive us. And so he's constantly telling us to beware that to be careful, so that we don't get taken by someone just that appears to be doing the right thing. So he says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. And it gets back to that same thing we talked about to God. is a name that's got a different meaning with it, but it's still talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So not only seeing us or giving us more knowledge as we continue to walk before him. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So that's the way we do the work. We do it joyfully. Then let's go down to verse 21. We're going to see this in a negative way, which seems to be pretty common too, that it says in, I'll read 20. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things into him has he reconciled. And so even though some of the Gentiles, we can even think about Paul before the Lord called him on the Damascus Road. He thought he was serving God, but he was really doing things that were quite the opposite of what the Lord wanted to have, like casting Christians into prison. And so the wicked works that are being done, I think, are just works that are not pleasing to the Lord. We'd have to go into detail and imagine what they all are, but I just think it's anything that's opposite of what the Lord, wants done. And he says, the Lord has reconciled them. So we need to be, I think it all has to do with this judging and being overly concerned and comparing ourselves one with another. And I think we should rather appreciate the status that we all have, and always seek peace and seek things that we can agree on, rather than constantly seeking things that divide us. Our next one is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and 17. I'm going to start with 14. He says, and above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He says, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, and that word deed is the same word as the word work, it's that ergon, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, even the Father, by him. So here's a very good example of him expressing the fact that we not only need to do the work, but we need to do it willingly. And as a result of that, doing it, with joy and giving thanks, it makes others, believe it or not, makes others want to join in the work. And so I think that's a reason the Lord would have us to do it. And I think we need to remind ourselves it's not a have to. It's because we want to. It's because of what he has already done for us that we want to do these things. Now let's turn back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 30. Chapter 2 and verse 30. And he says, saying in 29, start with 29, he says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So Paul, you know, I think Paul was encouraged when there was other saints that were willing to do similar things that he was doing. And this particular individual was doing things to the degree that he was, you know, not even regarding his own life, that it was perhaps causing him to have poor health and putting him in a position where he might even die. But he doesn't, this person keeps on keeping on in spite of that. So I'm looking at the time. I'm not sure what time I got started here, but I think about 20 after 9, I think I better go ahead and just close the next part about this verse. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2:15 as we close. But the next part about this verse has to do with this not being ashamed. And I do want to look into that and to think about it. But the gist of it is you can be doing good things for the Lord, things that please Him, and yet the world doesn't understand that, and so there's can be a sense of shame, I guess, from them as they try to suggest that you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't be involved with that, or you should be not be so serious about that. And so I think perhaps Paul struggled with that a little bit, and perhaps there was that thought. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, you know, there can be a shame that comes from the Lord from doing, coming under conviction and getting back on the right trail, so to speak, right track. But I think there's also this sense that sometimes when we're doing right, we can be ridiculed by others just for doing the right thing. And so I think it's something that we need to, you know, to think about. We'll do that next time we get together. And I apologize for the late start. I'm not sure what was going on there. But I trust that there's been enough said about what we've been looking into. God's approval. You know, that's what we're all should be seeking. And we shouldn't be seeking approval from other men, and shouldn't be seeking approval from the world, for sure, because they're always constantly judging us incorrectly and comparing ourselves one with the other. So with that, we will close and open up the mic and let others talk or have an opportunity, I guess, to share. So let's see if I can get this thing.